Hello, friends, and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kilohertz. And we also upload our shows and all of our podcasts to our website, rai.com.ar. Check it out, rai.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and I am bringing you this weekly edition of our English language show, corresponding to Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. We continue to produce weekly shows rather than daily shows from Mondays through Fridays because of COVID-19. It's been almost a year since RAE has been working remotely, with everybody producing and broadcasting content from home. And that means we don't have the studio and the newsroom of RAE downtown on Maipú 555 at the historic building, the broadcasting house of Radio Nacional Argentina, which is the necessary equipment, gear, infrastructure to produce content every day. And that's why until this pandemic is resolved, or until everybody's vaccinated, we continue to keep personnel and staff going to the premises of Radio Nacional to the minimum to prevent infections. And that's why everybody's working from home. But this is the reason why we still are not broadcasting shows every day, but weekly. But believe me, as soon as we resolve this, as soon as we go back to some normalcy, we'll start bringing you shows in 8 languages every day, as RAE has been doing since it started representing Argentina overseas on the airwaves in 1958. For this week's show, we're gonna be sharing, as usual, the latest week's news from Argentina and Latin America. And we'll also share a brief sound documentary on the birth anniversary of Piazzolla, 100 years since the birth of this key tango man who really revolutionized this music. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to qslrai@gmail.com. You can send not only messages, but also reception reports. If you are a DXer, we reply accurate reports with a digital QSL card, with an eQSL card. So check it out and send those reception reports to qslrai@gmail.com. All right, folks, now it's time for the news. These are the headlines. Protests in the northern province of Formosa against COVID restrictions. Police violence was denounced. Brazil. Former President Lula da Silva can be a candidate in 2022 after all corruption sentences against him were annulled. International Working Women's Day. There were marches all over Argentina against femicides, 55 so far this year. According to the United Nations, there are 22 million new poor people in Latin America because of the pandemic. Forensic physicians investigate whether Diego Armando Maradona's death could have been avoided. Sports. The South American qualifiers for Qatar 2022 is scheduled for late March were suspended after European clubs refused to send their South American players. And these are the news. The province of Formosa in northeastern Argentina was once again at the center of a controversy over anti-COVID restrictions. This is the Argentine district with the fewest cases and deaths in the country since the pandemic began a year ago. 1,494 and 20 respectively. But Formosa shares an extensive border with Paraguay, which is on the verge of health collapse due to coronavirus. For this reason, Governor Gildo Infran decreed a return to the so-called Phase 1 of isolation, which implies the closure of all non-essential activities. This led to strong protests by residents and business people in the provincial capital, Formosa City, which were repressed with tear gas and rubber bullets. The opposition, the UN, and groups such as Human Rights Watch criticized Infran's administration for police excesses and announced that almost 100 people were arrested, including journalists. The provincial authorities, for their part, claimed that the police tried to prevent the government house from being broken into and reported that 14 police officers were injured. They also assured that all of those arrested were already released. President Alberto Fernandez affirmed, meanwhile, that he understands the reasons why Infran decreed the measures, but remarked that he rejects all kinds of institutional violence. In other news, official sources announced that they will restrict the departure of tourists to Brazil due to the circulation in that country of the Amazonian variant of coronavirus. Likewise, the 7,000 or so Argentines who are known to be in the neighboring country, as well as those that travel to the United Kingdom, will be required to comply with a two-week quarantine upon their return to Argentina. In another story related to the pandemic, registration has been opened in Argentina for volunteers who want to take part in Phase 3 of the German vaccine CureVac, which will also be tested in four other Latin American nations. Those are Mexico, Colombia, Panama, and Peru. Regarding vaccination, the central government of Argentina distributed over the last few days almost 400,000 doses of Sputnik V to provinces for the second application of the rollout, which is advancing with those over the age of 70 as well as with teachers. However, there were some complaints this week about the vaccination in the city of Buenos Aires, where long lines of people over the age of 80 formed, for example, at the Luna Park boxing stadium, which was turned into an immunization center. Unlike other districts that implemented a waiting list, the government of the capital opened a system of appointments through internet, which is often collapsed according to users. The Buenos Aires City's top health official, Fernán Quirós, apologized for the problems and announced five new vaccination centers will be set up. In any case, the health ministers of all 24 Argentine provinces, including Quirós, issued a communique supporting the national vaccination policy and assuring that, quote-unquote, we are more united than ever. The situation in Argentina contrasts with what is happening in Brazil, where the top health officials from all 27 Brazilian states demanded last week a unified national leadership in the fight against COVID-19, which has already killed more than 250,000 people in Brazil. But President Jair Bolsonaro, who is reluctant to order any kind of restrictions, isolations or lockdowns, has called last week on Brazilians to, quote-unquote, stop whining about COVID-19, despite the daily record number of deaths in recent days, just below 2,000 per day. The sentences for corruption against former Brazilian president Lula da Silva were annulled by a Supreme Court judge. The judge, Edson Fachin, upheld a defense motion by the former president's defense on the grounds of lack of jurisdiction of the court that tried him in the so-called Lava Jato or car wash case. Lula, let's recall, spent more than 500 days in jail, convicted of receiving a property as a bribe to facilitate, during his presidency, contracts with the state oil company Petrobras, but these are charges that he emphatically denies. He always assured that he was sent to prison without a shred of evidence in one of the most paradigmatic cases of the so-called lawfare, the manipulation of judicial cases for political purposes. The former Brazilian head of state, who governed the country between 2003 and 2010, was tried by Judge Sergio Moro, who later became the justice minister of the current president, far-right Jair Bolsonaro. Lula was released at the end of 2019 by a court decision that recognized his right to exhaust all instances of appeal. It should be noted that this week's ruling does not exonerate Lula from the charges, which could be brought before another court in Brasilia, but this has enabled the former president to be a candidate in the 2022 presidential elections. Bolsonaro, for his part, rejected Fahim's decision and asserted that this magistrate has, quote-unquote, close ties with the Workers' Party that Lula leads. All in all, the incumbent Brazilian president Bolsonaro will travel to Buenos Aires for the next meeting of the Mercosur bloc at the end of March, official sources confirmed. This means he will hold his first face-to-face meeting with his Argentine counterpart, Alberto Fernandez. The commemoration of International Women's Day in Argentina this year was marked by two central aspects, one positive and the other alarming. On the one hand, the feminist movement celebrated the decriminalization of abortions, which the Argentine parliament approved last December, crowning a struggle of many years. But on the other hand, the demonstrators demanded urgent action by the state to stop the wave of femicides, 55 since the beginning of this year of 2021. That's almost one a day. One of the women remembered in Monday's demonstrations was Úrsula Baillo, an 18-year-old murdered last February by her ex-boyfriend, a policeman who had threatened her several times before killing her. This is a common trend of femicides. Many victims die at the hands of men that they themselves had denounced to authorities. For this reason, feminist groups claim that most of the judiciary and security forces operate according to patriarchal criteria and are therefore part of the problem of gender violence. Demonstrations for 8M took place all over the country with a central rally in front of the Congress in Buenos Aires. The day was marked by a women's strike also, which took place in various workplaces, including the Argentine National Radio Network, of which RAE, Argentina to the World, is a part of. In this context, another demand this week was for equal work rights and pay for women and for men. According to a survey released this week, 20% of young Argentine female professionals in areas such as economics, medicine, and engineering said they had lost opportunities just because they were women. One of the protesters last Monday, 25-year-old Angie, told the Telam news agency in BA, "We have won the right to abortion in the streets, but this is not enough. More reforms are needed." And then she added, and I quote, "The struggle is not only ours. It must be the struggle of the whole of society, because we must erase the gap between genders. We must achieve real equality. are an inequality that is thus reflected in everyday life. Because of COVID-19, there are 22 million new poor people in Latin America. This is according to the ACLAC, the United Nations Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean. In its report, it warns that poverty and destitution reached the highest levels in almost two decades. This deterioration occurred despite measures adopted by almost all governments in the region, such as Argentina's, which granted an allowance to low-income families and paid part of the salaries of private sector employees. But the impact of coronavirus is strong in this continent particularly, where a significant part of the economy is informal. That means that many workers, such as street vendors, maids, rural laborers, and bricklayers, for example, earn irregular and sporadic incomes, in cash and without any kind of social security. According to the ECLAC study, the poverty rate in Latin America reached in 2020 33.7%. That implies 209 million people, a third of the continent's population. Of those 209 million, 78 million are in a state of destitution or extreme poverty, meaning they just barely can afford food every day. According to the documents, vulnerability is even greater in rural, indigenous, and African Latin American populations. A medical board is beginning to analyze whether Diego Armando Maradona's death on November 25 last could have been prevented. This is part of a court case in which seven members of the medical team assisting the legendary footballer at the time of his death are charged. The plaintiffs in the case are Maradona's eldest daughters, Dalma and Janina, who claim that their father was a victim of malpractice. Experts will have to determine if the former number 10 of the Argentine national team was well medicated and if the house where he died was the right place for a house internment. At the time of his death, at the age of 60, the former Boca and Napoli player was recovering from surgery for a hematoma in his head. After the operation, his medical team proposed that he continue his treatment in a house in a gated community in Tigre, in the north of the outskirts of Buenos Aires City. On November 25, 2020, several ambulances arrived at the compound to try to bring him back to life after what was reported as a decompensation. But how he spent those last hours alive and the circumstances of his death are now being investigated by the courts. And finally, sports. CONMEBOL, which rules football in South America, suspended the Qatar 2022 World Cup qualifiers that were scheduled for the end of March. On that occasion, Argentina were due to play Uruguay at home and Brazil away. This postponement is due to the refusal of German and English clubs to release their South American players because of the 10-day anti-COVID isolation they would have to comply with on their return to Europe. Coaches such as Liverpool FC's Jurgen Klopp and Manchester City's Pep Guardiola had warned that they could not cope with the absence of South Americans while playing in decisive Premier League and Champions League matches. The clubs pay the players' wages, so they must have priority, Klopp said, quote-unquote, just before CONMEBOL ruled on the postponement. It is not yet known when these matches will be rescheduled, although there is the possibility that they will be played in June, before the start of the Copa America 2021, when players will already be here in the continent. In other sporting news, the top-ranked Argentine tennis player, Diego Schwartzman, was crowned champion of the Argentina Open, and this has been the first time a local player has won that tournament since David Nalbandian did back in 2008. Schwartzman, who's number 9 in the world, beat another Argentine, Francisco Cerúndolo, in the final 6-1 and 6-2. Let's point out that the runner-up is the brother of 19-year-old Juan Pablo Cerúndolo, who won the Córdoba ATP Championship just a week ago, as we inform here on RAI. And these were the news on RAI, Argentina to the world. A 100th anniversary of the birth of Astor Piazzolla, the revolutionary of tango. A 100 years ago, on March 11, one of the international musical icons of Argentine tango was born, Astor Piazzolla. Despite being much criticized in his beginnings, his avant-garde and creative genius allowed him to take tango to a whole new level, and he became a fundamental musician of the 20th century. Astor Pantaleón Piazzolla was born in Mar del Plata, but spent his childhood and teenage years in New York, more specifically on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. It was there that he soaked up the sound of that city, mainly jazz. And it was also there where he learned to play the bandoneon, the instrument he's most identified with. He returned to Argentina at the age of 16 and started playing in the tango orchestra headed by Aníbal Troilo, Pichuco. That's where he absorbed the tenets of traditional tango. Later, Astor formed his own group. In reality, Astor wanted to be a classical musician and thought that his compositions were no good, until his stay in France served to consolidate him as a composer, and this boosted his self-confidence. From then on, the Piazzolla style was born, a style that provoked fierce criticism among old school tango musicians until, finally, the world surrendered to his music. To celebrate the 100th anniversary of his birth, the Piazzolla100official.com website was launched this past Monday by the Astor Piazzolla Foundation. World-class musicians of the likes of Aldi Meola, Marty Friedman, Paquito de Rivera, Richard Galliano and Gary Burton all took part in the tributes, salutations and music homages to the Argentine musician. Piazzolla wrote some monumental pieces such as Libertango, Adiós Nonino, María de Buenos Aires, Balada para un Loco, Las Cuatro Estaciones Porteñas and Oblivion, among many others. 3,500 works in total. RAI Argentina to the World joins the homage with Adiós Nonino, perhaps the most moving and popularly known of his tunes worldwide. It is a melody that he wrote in honor of his father, Vicente Nonino Piazzolla, who died while the composer was in New York. Thank you. Astor Piazzolla, Forever, Forever. Personally, I am a huge, huge fan of his music, of his sound. To me, and I don't want to be saying any blasphemy, but to me, this sound, the sound of Piazzolla, represents the city where I'm from, the city of Buenos Aires, like no other music. Like no other music. I really consider him to be the music of the city. And with this, folks, we come to the end of this week's edition of RAE Argentina to the World in English, a program that is aired via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kilohertz, also streaming and uploading our shows as podcasts to rae.com.ar, shows in 8 languages that you can download from that website. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening to our show. See you next week. Take care. Ciao, hasta la próxima.